James chapter 1 this morning. Just want to say thank you to everybody for all those anniversary cards and gifts and everything. My wife and I truly appreciate it. And just keep praying for her over the years. Amen. God's grace is evident in my life because he gave me her. And I thank the Lord for her, and I thank the Lord for our marriage. I thank the Lord most of all for the grace of God. Amen. For every one of our lives is by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that works in our lives. It's the grace of God that keeps us. And just be careful to thank God always for his grace. James chapter 1 this morning, I want to look at one verse and just share some thoughts with you this morning from one verse and preach from one verse, and it's verse number 25. I think this is an important verse to just look at and consider and remind ourselves for, and thank God for this verse this morning in light of this weekend and Independence Day and 4th of July and liberties and the freedoms that we have in our country. We still do have freedoms and liberties. Now, I know they're being challenged, and I know that they're being eroded even as we speak. We need to pray for those liberties. We need to pray, continue to pray for the liberties that we have. I believe we're in days that are going to become more trying as weeks and months and years go on. But I'll just tell you this, they can govern our lives in a lot of different ways, but they can't govern our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we're respectful of our government. We obey our government. We submit to our government until they try and tell us how to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a line drawn in the sand, and it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it stops. That's really where it stops. And they can tell us to wear masks, but I'll tell you what, they're not going to tell me to stop singing hymns of praise unto my God. That's not happening. They're not going to tell us to stop worshiping the Lord. Amen? They're not going to tell us to stop telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had more opportunities just in our parking lot lately to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I found a good way to witness to people lately. Just to park my car in the exit of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. I just stop the car right there and get out and putt around out front. And it's amazing how many people turn around in our parking lot. And then they come to the exit and there's a car blocking. Well, it's our property. Amen. So I just get out and start talking to them about the Lord in a very friendly way, but introduce myself and just talking to them about the Lord. And you pulled into our driveway and now you want to get out. Well, before you get out, you got to talk to the preacher for a little bit. And it works. And then I graciously back up the car and let them out and It's just been a great honor. You wouldn't believe, I mean, the number of people, probably half a dozen people this week, I've had the opportunity. And you know what? Every one of them has been thankful and friendly their response to the Lord. And so I had one young man the other day that, get out and talk to this young man because I thought his car belonged to someone else and I thought he was part of the church. So I get out thinking it was a church member and get out, and of course it wasn't, and it was someone else's car. But he asked about our services and he thanked me. He told me he'd come to Christ a number of years ago, and he thanked me that they were still having church. You know, let me just say this. The world outside is wondering why Christians aren't living the way they say they should be living. The world outside is They want Christians to pray. They might say they don't believe in God, but they sure want people to pray for them. Amen? And they want us to pray. I had one man that told me, he said, listen, of all places that should be open and of all places where people should be gathering, it's in churches to pray. He says, I'm not a religious man. But he said this, he said, if God can't help God's people, then the rest of us are in a big mess. That's the world's perspective. And you know what? They're looking to us. They might not say it, but they're looking to us to stand up and do what we know is right in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want us to look at James chapter 1 because it's amazing. Look at verse number 25. It's an amazing verse. In light of everything, it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty. Isn't that amazing how God puts the not only the truth in his word, because his word is truth, but how he puts a truth that just is stunning compared to everything else that's going on in society. At this time, in this weekend, we rightfully remember and reflect upon and celebrate because of a document that we have called the Declaration of Independence. And really, that's a declaration of liberty. But you know, every man-made document is man-made, right? And therefore, there's one thing we can say about it. It's not perfect. As much as we respect and love our country, and as much as we respect all the documents that give us freedom in our country and supposedly guarantee us these freedoms, there's not one of those documents that's perfect. But here it says, the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. And it's speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when we consider it, this weekend is the 4th of July, and it's all about independence, it's all about remembering our liberties and our freedoms and the country in which we live. And we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm thankful that we still live in a free country. Because as many that are living in countries that are just totally opposite, no freedom. There's many that are living in countries that have limited freedom. But there's people that are living in countries that have no freedom. And life is difficult. There's countries today that not only is the government giving guidelines or suggestions or even mandates, but there's countries today where on the streets there are soldiers with machine guns making sure you don't step out of your door because of this virus. And those people are hurting because they don't have the liberty and the freedom that we have in this country. But you see, the amazing thing about the gospel, the book of James in chapter 1 and verse number 25 is it speaks about a greater freedom that we have that does not come from our country and is not guaranteed by our country, but it comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this freedom that is mentioned in verse 25, the perfect law of liberty, this freedom can set anybody free anywhere in the world. This freedom that comes through Christ is a freedom that goes beyond the barriers of government, goes beyond the walls of country, goes beyond all the things that limit or restrict or do not allow our freedoms in a physical sense or in a national sense. This freedom is for anybody, anywhere. And this is the freedom that we need to remind ourselves of. This is the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ said he came to preach about. Turn back to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. Luke chapter 4. First of all, I want us to, my 3 points, because I might just get off track this morning. My 3 points are, number one, a consideration of liberty. Number two, a continuation of liberty. And number three, a confirmation of liberty. All right? A consideration of liberty, a continuation in liberty, and a confirmation of liberty. All right? Now that you got your points, I can preach. All right? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ said. In verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When the Lord stood up in that temple, and essentially proclaimed that he was the one that God had sent, the Messiah, he said, I've come to set at liberty those that are bruised. And so when we consider in James chapter 1 and verse number 25, when we consider that it says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this perfect law of liberty is speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to remind us, first of all, under point number one, the consideration of this liberty, I want to remind us of what this liberty is all about. First of all, who is the one that brought about this liberty? Only one person, Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. So not only did he say you would know the message of the truth, but you would know the person of truth. And that's really what he's speaking about. If ye shall know the Son shall set you free. He says, I've come to deliver, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so this liberty, this gospel liberty, comes through one person, Jesus Christ. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, when you talk to someone about the gospel, please make sure that you do this. Emphasize the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not the church that you belong to. That'll come later. But the church doesn't set people free. Jesus Christ is the only one that sets people free. And so tell people about the Lord. And when you tell them about the Lord, and they want to know more, then you can tell them about, hey, well, listen, I've got some friends that I fellowship with that know about the Lord personally. Come meet them. Hang out with them. And they'll say, well, where are they? Well, they're at this place called Lakes Palm Baptist Church. It's like a Christian Panera Bread. All right? Only we feed on the bread of life. Amen? Right? And we drink from the well of the water of Jesus Christ. But first of all, it comes from Christ, only Christ. And this is what people need to know. I was just asked the other day to, and I'm going to, but I was asked to really to come back and just minister more on Pearl Street up in Willimantic. They said, Pastor, they need the preaching of the Word of God on Pearl Street again. It's starting to slip back into the bondage of which it was. And we saw God deliver that street, that neighborhood, from drugs. There was a year, at least a year, where that street was drug free. You know why? Because of the gospel. And they pleaded with me the other night. They said, Pastor, it's slipping back into the mess it was. And I said, all right, well, we got to get back at it. And it's to proclaim liberty. But that liberty is through Jesus Christ. And why is it through Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ did something. He did the only thing that could bring about liberty. He died for you and me. This liberty cost. It cost more than any other liberty. I mean, I'm thankful for the liberty that we have in the United States, and I am thankful for every person that has served and does serve and has given their life for our liberties. But greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And as much as we appreciate the liberty that we have, this liberty cost more. Because this costs more than a human life. This cost the life of the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Creator. He loved me and gave Himself for me. And this liberty is greater than any other liberty in the world. This is the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And first of all, it comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. But let's stop and consider what this liberty is all about. What this liberty is all about. You know, we are free in this country. As a country, we're free. But the liberty that this country affords us, it doesn't afford us the liberty that Christ gives us. This liberty that Christ gives us is a freedom, first of all, from sin. And when I say that, it's a freedom from sin in this regard, that when you trust in Jesus Christ, all your sins are not only forgiven, but they're totally forgiven. They're never brought up again. We're living in a time where people are bringing up everything. Everything. I mean, just stop and consider how everything is just being dragged up from the filth and the mire and the muck. You know, I've in construction, there were times where we had to take a machine and we had to dredge out ponds and mucky areas. And there's nothing worse than scooping down with a bucket and just pulling up muck and mire, and it smells and it stinks. But you know what? When your sins are forgiven, that muck and that filth and that mire and that stench is gone and never brought up again by God. Isn't that amazing? And we need to remind ourselves of that. Now, the devil won't remind you of that. He'll just ask you if you really believe it. And that's why you say, oh, yes, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen. And God has forgiven. And so it delivers us, first of all, by the forgiveness of sin. And you know what that does? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ purges our conscience. It gives us peace because we know we have peace with God. But not only does this liberty involve the forgiveness of sin, this liberty involves deliverance and freedom from the power of that sin. Colossians chapter 1. Look what it says. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 for a minute. Colossians chapter 1. And this is, listen, this is what folks need to hear. This is what people need to hear, is that they can be free from all the things in this life that have caused so much ruin and so much problem and so much damage. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 13, speaking of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But he says, when I set you free, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you're delivered from the penalty and the judgment of sin. Your sins are forgiven, and God says, I'll never bring them up again. Boy, I tell you what a comforting and restful and peaceful truth that is. But he also says, but I've delivered you from the power of darkness. In other words, that bondage. So many people today are in the bondage of sin. They're chained by their sin. Why do they do the things that they do? Why do they live the way that they live? Because they're a sinner. And their life is sinful because they're a sinner. Why do I speak English? It's who I am, right? I'm an American. I was brought up in an American country, United States, and I speak English, right? Why do people sin? Because they're sinners. But look what it says. He delivers us. He sets us free from that bondage. Just like Peter and Paul and others that found themselves in jails and the chains were put on them, and God miraculously would just set an earthquake and those chains would be broken, and they would look down and their hands would be free and their legs would be free and they could stand up and walk and move away and walk out of that prison. God says, I've delivered you from the power of darkness. Just like the leper that was just bound with those sores and those ailments, Jesus Christ healed them, set them free. And so we're delivered. We're delivered. We're set free from the penalty of sin. We're set free from the power of sin, that we can live a different life by God's grace and God's power. But you know, one day we're going to be set free in a greater way, ain't we? I mean, aren't we? I speak English, but not very well. But we're going to be set free in a greater way. And that's what we looked at last week, right? Where everything, all those former things are passed away, and God says, I make all things new. And this is what this is what the world needs to hear. And they need to hear it, folks. More than ever, they need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They need to hear it. They're wanting to hear it. They're wanting to hear it. And so, first of all, there's a consideration. And, one more thought. Why? Why would Christ do this? Not because he loved a country, but because he loved people. Because he loved people. You know, the United States is a beautiful country. And we love to just see the natural aspect of the country. It's a beautiful, there's beautiful spots in the United States. Amen? One of them is Waterford. Thank you, Jordan. All right. Tip that guy on the way out. All right? Okay? All right? Thank you, Jordan. Amen. But, you know, you go to other countries, and there's beautiful spots there. There's a place in Peru called Oxapampa, and it's way out. You can't get there by plane. You have to drive. You have to fly into Jauca, which if you drive to Jauca, it's a six-hour trip up over the mountains. Or if you fly, if you can get a flight and you trust the airlines, you can fly into there. And then you have to go another 6 or 7 hours over more mountains. And I mean, these are high mountains. You come down through these mountains, up these mountains, and you get sick to your stomach and the whole bit. But then you come to this place called Oxapampa. And I tell you what, it's in the rainforest area. And the beauty, the natural beauty there. You look out and you look out the back door, the cottage where you're staying, and the mountains just go higher. And you look out the back, and there's these mountains out there, and the sky is blue. And then you look around, you take any plant, any flower here in the United States, you grow it to the biggest and best you can. And then you multiply it by about 10 or 20. I mean, the blossoms are like this, and the plants are like this, and the nature. And you hear this noise in your window in the morning. And you look out your window, and there are green parrots like this big on your window. And I mean, it's just beautiful. But Jesus didn't come because he loved the country. He came because he loved you and me. And he died because he loved you and me. For God so loved the world. Christ loved me, gave himself for me. And so number one, there needs to be a consideration of this liberty that we have. But then it says this. It says this, and here's where once you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you need to continue in living in light of the gospel. You know, back in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and in chapter 4, it says of those people that got saved, it says, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly, basically saying they continued steadfastly in the things of the Lord. You know, the world around us is changing, folks. Just look at this morning. It's changing. And it might never go back to the way it was. Nothing ever goes back to the way it was, does it? Right? Never seems to go back to the way it was. And who knows how it's going to change in the next few months. And so the question you ask is, well, what do we do? I'll tell you what we do. We just continue on doing the same things we know we're supposed to do. The method might have to change a little bit, right? In actuality, I like that the seats are spread out a little more. Isn't it a lot more relaxed with the seats spread out? Right? I mean, I tell you what, if we build a new church auditorium, we're going to build it. And if and when we build it, we're going to build it with spacious seating. I mean, we're going to build it with seating that is more spread out just to make it more comfortable. Because I tell you what, why is it that every church, I know, I told you I'd get off track here. Why is it that every church you go into, you have to crowd into the seats where you're going to spend an hour, right? Stop and think about it. So anyways, there's changes in life and changes and all sorts of changes. But for the Christian, we just keep continuing on in Christ. And look what it says here in verse 25. Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty. Just stop and think why we should continue in this. Because it is the perfect law. It's perfect. It's the perfect way to live. The gospel, the word of God, the teachings of Christ is the perfect way to live. Right? It's perfect. You get advice from anywhere else, It's not perfect. It might be good. It might be exceptional. But only the law of liberty, only the Word of God is perfect. And therefore, you can trust it. You can trust it. It's perfect. But understand this as well. It's the law. It's the law. And while the laws in countries may change over the course of time, where people can say, you know, I don't like this law, and I think we should change this law. Guess what? This one doesn't change. You can't change this one. This book right here, it's perfect. And it's settled. It is the law of liberty. It is the law of liberty. In other words, you can't change. But here's the thing. That's a good thing that you can't change it. Right? Can you imagine? Just stop and consider for a moment. Can you imagine that you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Right? And then all of a sudden you open up this book one day and it's changed. And all of a sudden it says, well, you have to trust in Jesus Christ, but you also have to send a check, $50,000. And all of a sudden, the requirements for salvation have changed. You know, there'd be a bunch of us in a heap of trouble, right? Amen. Yeah, Kevin, you, right? Kevin said, yeah, I'd be in trouble. How much you got, Kevin? You don't even know. Not 50,000? Well, you're in a heap of trouble if this book changes. But guess what? It is not changing, is it? Right? It's not changing. Whew. It's the perfect law of liberty. But it says we're to continue. Now, as the world changes, you know, can I boil it down to two things that we're supposed to do? I can, because the Lord Jesus Christ did. As everything changes, there's two things we're supposed to do. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, by the way, you know what? You know what the only cure for racism is? The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only cure. Society's not going to change it. Government isn't going to change it. Protesting isn't going to change it. But Jesus Christ will. Because when you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, He gives you the love of God. And for God so loved the what? The world. This is where things change. 1 John chapter 4. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And it says we're to continue. We're to continue. We're to look into the law, perfect law of liberty, and continue therein. And not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You know, when the love of God fills your heart, it makes it a lot easier in your life. It makes it easier to do the things you don't want to normally do in your flesh, right? Because you're doing it because you love the Lord and you love others. And so it says, continue. Continue in the perfect law of liberty. How do I continue? Well, I look. I read it, and I live it. Aren't you thankful God makes it simple? He doesn't say you have to figure it out. He says just read it, believe it, and do it. And so number one, a consideration of this liberty. What a liberty is, the liberty of Christ in the gospel. Number two, a continuation. But number three, a confirmation. Because look what it says. It says, Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, look what it says. This man shall be blessed in his deed. It says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what that means? That means that you will see the grace of God evident in your life. You'll see God working in your life. You'll see God doing things in your life. I'll give you an example. In all of this, in Willimantic Baptist Church, God's taking care of the finances. Thursday night, you know what the offering was Thursday night? I can share this with you. $1,700 in that little church in Willimantic. And you know what's so special about that? You know what's so important about that? Is that that not only met the current bills, but that took care of the insurance bill that was coming up. That I was sitting home the other day and saying, well, we can take care of all the bills are being taken care of, but man, that little church, when all of a sudden that insurance hits four times a year, that's another chunk. And guess what? Thursday night, the Lord said, let me show you once again, Pastor Meter. I've got this all under control, and my grace is sufficient. And on a Thursday night, and we don't take offerings, just like here. We're not passing the plate around. But people are just coming up and giving. God says, I started this thing, and I'm going to keep it going. And I'll tell you what, that church has been a testimony to the man that they rent the building from. That man that we rent the building from, the end of March, his business completely shut down totally, as a lot of other business owners. Every contract he had stopped. And worse than that, on delivery was a $300,000 machine that he had ordered and was on the road to come to his place. You have a $300,000 machine coming to your company, and your company stops. And all his financial income stopped except for one place, the church. The church. I went over personally and talked to them, and I said, Weissen, I says, I know that God put it together for us to rent this building from you, and therefore I am trusting God that by his grace, he will supply our needs so that we can meet the obligation that we have to you. And he says, oh, no, Pastor, you don't. As this is going on, the church does not need to feel responsible to pay anything during this time. And I says, oh, we're going to. By God's grace, we're going to pay every bit. And we will. And God has shown that he is able to do that. And you know what it says here? It says the confirmation of living by the gospel is to see the grace of God in your life. You know, if you turn back to Acts chapter 2 for a moment, Acts chapter 2, I was just looking at this in the past month or so, thinking about Acts chapter 2 and the preaching of the gospel, because the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, ye shall be witnesses of me. Right? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God comes down and they begin to preach. But look at it from the testimony of the people that heard what was being said. Look at verse number 8. How hear we every man in our own tongue They said, we're hearing something in our own language. That's miraculous. But what did they say they were hearing? Look at verse number 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were hearing the preaching of the gospel, but they were hearing how the preaching of the gospel and how Christ had set these disciples free. And they were hearing about what Christ was doing in the lives of these people. You ever stop and consider why people that aren't saved, when they have a need, will all of a sudden call you up and say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you have your church pray for me? You know why? Because they see and know God works in your life and they need it. They need it, and they say, I need what you have. And they see God working. And when we talk to people, we should be willing to tell them of what God is doing in our lives. Just tell them, share with them what God is doing, because their life is empty of power. Their life is empty of the grace of God. And when you talk to them, share them about the liberty of Christ, that Christ has set you free, and that now Christ and God is working your life by his grace, and it's amazing. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, in the ages to come, they might see the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the world needs to see it. They need to see it. Sometimes it takes time. And so, what a liberty we have. While we appreciate the liberties we have in the United States, man, there's a greater liberty that goes beyond the borders, goes beyond this country. It goes to anyone that will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. And so we need to just keep considering this liberty that we have that has set us free. We need to continue to live in light of this liberty and live in the gospel. We also need to understand that God will confirm it. He'll pour his grace upon your life as you live for him. But you know, let me just say this, that while the world is protesting, what Christians need to do is be proclaiming. We don't need to be out there protesting, folks. But what we do need to be out there doing is proclaiming Jesus Christ. Listen, you can still talk to people at 6 feet away. Amen. You can still talk to them and be safe. Mrs. Hunt, just keep your mask on. All right. How was that? Did I get an amen on that one? All right. Now I'll get yelled at by her. You can keep your mask on and still preach the gospel, folks, right? You can do it. But people are listening. People are listening. And we have the answer, and it's Jesus Christ. So let the world protest, but let the Christian proclaim the liberty of Christ. Let's pray.